1 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep in mind that all Scripture is inspired of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature. All Scripture is God-breathed. So we're reading Scripture this morning, that which has been breathed from the very nostrils of God through fallen men. They penned it, but God has protected it down through the ages so that it comes to us as His inspired, infallible Word of God. So we read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, reading through the rest of the chapter. The apostle writes, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." May God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. There are seven ministries of the Holy Spirit that you would do well to know. And I would be remiss if I didn't teach them to you. Seven ministries of God the Holy Spirit. Remember, we worship one God, but He manifests Himself to us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. First of all, God the Holy Spirit regenerates us. He gives us life, the life of God. Titus 3:5 says that we're not saved by our works, but we're saved by the regenerating ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We call it the new birth. He regenerates us. Secondly, He indwells us. Our bodies actually become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, God the Holy Spirit lives within us. That's what Paul says, and we're going to look at it this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That is, God the Holy Spirit lives in you as a believer. Third ministry is baptism. We have been placed into the body of Christ by the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by means of one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ. That's the third ministry. Fourth, He seals us forever in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. We have been forever sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit after we believe. Next, He equips us. We have been given what I call divine operating assets. The Bible calls them spiritual gifts, with which we use these gifts to serve the body. He gifts us, He equips us, the equipping ministry of the Holy Spirit. And finally, He teaches us. Well, it's not the final one, it's number six. He teaches us. God the Holy Spirit teaches our human spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, God the Holy Spirit teaches our human spirit the things of the Spirit of God. He's our great teacher. That is, we know that God the Son teaches us, but He uses the ministry of the Spirit to do it. And finally, number seven is the filling ministry. That's the controlling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 says, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. So those seven ministries are very, very important, but I want to focus in on one particular ministry, and that is His ministry of indwelling us. He lives inside of us. My wife and I have been married a lot of years, but I still have a deep respect for her, and I try to honor her. And there are times we're watching a movie or watching TV that words come out that embarrasses me because she's in the room. Do you know what I mean? I'm consciously aware of her presence in the room. What if we realized that the one who created this universe and the one who made us actually lives inside of us? How would that change our lives? How would that change our lives? That's what Paul has in mind this morning in this text. But before we look into it, let's bow together for prayer. Father, would you minister to us your word this morning, and thank you for a church, a small group of believers who love your word and who want it taught, who realize that everything that we learn that's significant is because we learn something from your word. Because one day, all the words of this universe are going to pass away into oblivion. And the only words that will remain are those, your word, in the Scripture. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And the words of Jesus Christ, that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So help us be conscious, Father, of your word this morning. Take it in and allow it to do its work in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is dealing here with a divided church. But what he teaches us today, if we take it in and listen to what he's teaching, we will never have a church split at Glendale. And you know what else? If we take this information in and really believe what Paul is saying and begin to live accordingly, we'll even begin to love our moms more than we do. How about that? And our moms will even begin to love us more than they do if our moms are still with us. Mine's going on to be with Jesus Christ. I will be with her one day. But what I'm saying is it'll change our life. It'll change our life. And it'll hold down the divisions in the local church. Now, this church here that Paul's writing to, like I said, is a divided church. So he's writing here to instruct them on how not to be divided. And I want us to look, first of all, at a proper view of who we are. A proper view of who we are. And you'll have to hold your place here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We were just there. I quoted it earlier. Look at verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Boy, this is good stuff. Now, there are places in the Bible where the language of the Bible has to be understood. We're going to be looking at a pronoun this morning. We did it briefly last time that we spoke on Sunday morning. But a pronoun, that pronoun you and your, look in verse 19. It says, or do you, see that word you there? If you have a pen or a pencil, circle that, because that is a singular pronoun, meaning he's talking about a person, an individual, a one believer, me, or you as a believer, you. Or do you not know that your body, now this is talking about your physical body, your body, my body, is, notice, the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, God the Holy Spirit actually lives where? In us. He says, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, here's the result. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Like, I'm consciously aware of my wife, whom I love dearly. I'm consciously aware of her presence. When she's in the room, always aware. If we're in a wedding reception, I'm aware of her in the room. That's the way it ought to be, right? Now, if I'm aware that my body, however, is the temple of God the Holy Spirit who made me, then how does that change my thinking? My thoughts? What I allow my mind to think when I'm consciously aware that he's aware of what I'm thinking? Does that change it? That's a game changer, isn't it? And what about what I allow my eyes to see? Say I'm walking through a mall. I'm a preacher, right? Walking through a mall and got all kinds of people dressed all kinds of ways. And what I know, I'm a man. But what I allow my eyes to see is based on the one who lives in me. I don't want to embarrass him. would grieve him, as we're going to see. So I'm conscious of what I allow my eyes to see. I'm also conscious of what I say, my words, how I talk to you, and those words that I listen to. I listen to some words that now bother me that used to not bother me. Boy, when I was back in high school and college, I listened to all kinds of speech. But now that bothers me because I'm conscious of the person who lives inside of me. So I'm careful about what I let my ears hear. And also of what I say, my mouth, and how I speak, and what I do, I'm consciously aware. Because I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Look in Ephesians just a minute. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at it. I can't count the times that Linda and I don't know what this means, if it has any bearing on anything, but we've rented a movie. We didn't know really what was in the movie. Somebody recommended it to us. You'll like it. We brought it home, put it in the VCR, or put it in the DVD player or whatever. 5 minutes into the movie, we're through. It's gone because it starts embarrassing me and it starts embarrassing her. And I, like I said, I'm consciously aware of her presence. But this has everything to do with this. Look what Paul says in verse 25. This is Ephesians 4, 25. He says, therefore, watch this, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Don't lie. Don't lie because someone lives in you who is the truth, and you're aware of him. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole, don't steal any longer, but rather let him work, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Now look in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now look in verse 30. Here's where we're going with this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. He's inside of you. And he goes on to say, let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So a proper view of your person, every individual believer, will hold down church splits, hold down church divisions. We know who we are. And that'll bring about a proper respect for other believers who are whose body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the basis for my loving you, because I know who lives in you. Now, secondly, let's go back to our text. I'm going to try to keep my river within the banks if I can, on the message, that is. Look in verse 16 and 17. It's the same idea. Paul says, do you, hold it right there, circle that you. That you now is no longer singular. It's not talking about an individual. That you there, that pronoun, is plural. It's talking about a group of individuals. It's talking about the church. Now see, I thought you last time we met, I think, that the church is not a physical building, is it? This physical building here is not the church. Even though we have the name out here that it is the church, it's not. The church is the body of Christ. Now it's the church today, because we're here. The church is not an organization. Now, that doesn't mean we're not organized. We are organized. But the church is an organism. It's a spiritual entity. It's the body of Christ. That's what's important. So he says, do you not know, you plural, that you plural are the temple of God? That is, the God the Holy Spirit also indwells what? The church. Just like he indwells an individual, he indwells the body of Christ. So God the Holy Spirit is here today because the church is here today, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Look at that, plural. If anyone defiles the temple of God, now how do we defile the temple of God? We cause church splits, church divisions. How do we do that? We want our own way. We don't discern the Spirit's way. We don't discern God, the Holy Spirit's presence within us. We want what? Our own way. We revert back to the flesh. We want to do what we want to do. We want this color carpet. We want this color on the wall. We want, and we have little spats and little, and we divide a whole congregation over what? Something as so trivial as the carpet, as the choir robes. We don't bother with that here. But something we would call it here, pardon my French here, but stupid things, trivial things. Because we're not conscious that God the Holy Spirit is here. And we want to please Him in how we treat each other as the body of Christ. And that means we acquiesce. That's a big word. That means we humble ourselves before each other. We want what God wants in this. We don't want our own way. We welcome the input, but ultimately we want what God wants, right? Because He has a will for this body, and we want His will. If anyone defiles the temple, divides the temple, God will destroy him. Well, how does He do that? Well, I'm not sure I understand how He does that. But I know that Paul says, for this cause, for this reason, many are sick. We get physically sick. God does that. And many are weak, and many die. God even removes believers from the local body because of the divisions. We want our own way. We're arrogant. We're proud. For the temple of God, look at this, is what? Holy. You're a holy temple. Wow. That changes the way I think about you. I don't know about you, but I look at you quite different when I realize that you are holy to God. Boy, that holds down a lot of splits too, doesn't it? This is a holy temple set apart to God, which temple you are. So a proper view of the church is the second way that we hold down splits. First, a proper view of ourselves individually, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. A proper view of the church. It'll take care of a lot of problems, right? Even our love for each other. Even our love for and respect for our parents. Our love and respect for our children. And our children's love and respect of us. Takes care of a world of problems when we know who we are. And we know we're consciously aware of the presence of God in our life. We're not going to divide. Do we ever disagree? We're Baptists, aren't we? We disagree about a lot of things. But we work out our disagreements, don't we? We don't split. We don't take up our marbles and go home and stay huffy about it for a long time. No, we come together. We love each other. We find God's will for our lives. Look at verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If any one of you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Fools, watch this. Fools believe this book to be true. That is, human beings, the world, thinks I'm foolish because I believe this book. I believe every word. I even believe the cover says Holy Bible. I believe every word of this book. I believe it's the wisdom of God right here. It's the very word of the living God right here. Well, the world says you're foolish. No, God says you're wise. This is God's wisdom. It's not human wisdom. And Paul says, if that's the case, then become a fool. Become foolish. I'm foolish enough to preach this book verse by verse, word by word. And let God the Holy Spirit apply it where He will. Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit. You realize I don't make a good Holy Spirit, right? And I can't play Holy Spirit for you. If you saw me in that role, you would never want me in your home. You wouldn't want me around you. Holier than thou. Here comes the preacher. Man, put away the good reading material. Straighten up the house. He's coming down the sidewalk. What a time for him to show up. No, I'm a real person. I'm just a human being. But I'm a fool for Christ in that I believe this book. And I believe the wisdom that's here is God's wisdom. And He is the one who's in control of this body, not me. So He says, let you become a fool that you may become wise. And look, He says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Here's the point. You can't run the church with human wisdom. You can't run the church with human ideas and human intellect. That doesn't work. Well, look, I'm a president of this big plant over here, and I know how to run an organization. This is not an organization. It's an organism. It's a spiritual body. You can't run it that way. Well, look, I got all these degrees hanging by my name. I'm the doctor of this, and I'm a doctor of theology, and I've got all these wonderful degrees. I'm highly intelligent. Can't run the church that way, however. It doesn't work here. It just takes a bunch of people who are weak, whom the world classifies as being foolish, those bunch of weak believers. And the weaker we are, the stronger God is on our behalf. That's the beauty of it. We're just weak. We just believe God. And we do some amazing things, do we not? Because He's a big God. And that's what He's saying here. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And what He's saying there, remember when Haman tried to destroy the Jews by killing Esther and Mordecai? And he had it all set up. He had the gallows already. God says, I'll catch the wise in their own craftiness. Haman ended up being strung up on his own rope. He was hung by his own rope. Well, He'll do the same with the local church. If we try to run this ministry with human wisdom, we'll hang ourselves. And we'll divide, we'll split, we'll fuss, we'll fight. Because we're bringing human wisdom and replacing God's wisdom with that. You can't do that. If you can't give me chapter and verse, I don't want to hear it. That's what I'm saying, bottom line, right? If I can't show you in the Bible that what I'm teaching is true, then I don't need to be teaching it. Bring God's words with you, preacher. We want to know what the Bible says. We're not interested in what you say. You got opinions, but we're not interested in your opinions. We want to know what God's word says. That's how we run the ministry. And look, he says, and again, verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Do not quench the Spirit. Now, when you quench something, it's like pouring water on a fire. You put it out. Now, if we attempt to run this ministry by human wisdom and human intellect and human ideas and human talent, if we attempt to run the church by those methods, what we're doing is quenching what? The Spirit. We're not letting Him do what He alone can do. We're trying to manufacture ministry, right? We begin to counterfeit the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? Right? We do. We quench Him. We're not supposed to grieve Him. We grieve Him because He's inside of us, and He's grieved when He hears. We allow ourselves to listen to what we shouldn't listen to, say what we shouldn't say. Now, that doesn't mean we're pious prudes. I love to go to deer camp and hang around a bunch of guys, and I'm all into guy talk. And I can get down and rough as anyone out there, and I promise you I can. I'm a deer hunter, turkey hunter, love it all. I know Mark Hathaway's the same way. He's a man's man, but he's also got a spiritual heart. And real men of God are tough on the outside, but inside they're what? They're tender. Tender toward whom? God. I'm not talking about wimps. I'm talking about men who love Jesus Christ. That's the way you run a local church. That sometimes we have to get in each other's face, do we not? We disagree is what I'm saying. But we always find that sweet consensus where everybody comes together and we find the will of God in there and we move forward. And we watch God's wisdom just erupt. And I love it when people come here, they sense the presence of God here. They sense God the Holy Spirit here. They said, you know, you guys aren't fussing. Y'all are not spending a lot of time gossiping and maligning other people. You talk about Jesus around here a lot. You lift up and honor Jesus and talk about the Bible here a lot. And boy, that's a refreshing change. That's amazing. Cuts down on divisions, does it not? We don't have church splits. We don't have to have them. This is all preventive, by the way. Let's finish it up. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Now, see, their whole problem at Corinth where they were following human leaders. They were saying, oh, we're of Paul. We're of Apollos. We're of Cephas. We're of Brother Dick. He's our best. And they got all kinds of these, they're preacher followers, they're men followers. That's what was happening here. But Paul's going to say here, Listen, every preacher belongs to you, every believer, and you belong to me. You have giftedness that I don't have, so I profit from your giftedness. God's equipped you in ways that He didn't equip me, and you minister to me. But that's how we operate. We need each other, and we receive each other's ministry because we're one body in Christ. So we don't have to split and divide and get mad. And therefore, let no one boast in men. Don't brag about men. For all things are yours, Paul says. Everything belongs to you. Whether Paul, verse 22, or Apollos, or Cephas. And then he says, or the world. This is my Father's world, folks. He tells me to enjoy it. That's why I love to get out in the woods. They're mine. And one day they're going to be mine. When God renews them. Those trees are going to be, they're going to be beautiful trees once again. But they're mine. He says, the world or life, eternal life and physical life. God gave you physical life. He chose to give you life. And it brings us back to our moms, doesn't it? But He also chose to give you eternal life in Christ. That's yours. We all have the same life. We all have the same world. And He even says, or death. You say, how can we own death? Well, to a believer, death is not something to fear. Death is really our servant. Death is our slave. And all death can do to a believer is usher us into the presence of our God. All death can do to us is usher us into the presence of Jesus Christ. Is that so bad? So death belongs to us. Even death belongs to us. And life belongs to us. And the world belongs to us. And He says, are things present or things to come? All are yours. Paul says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? He says, I am persuaded that life or death or angels or things present or things to come or height or depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is there anything here worth fighting over? And then he says, he finishes it up and he says, and you are Christ's, you belong to Him. Isn't that good? Each one of you belongs to Him. And we know who He is and we know what He's done. And we belong to Him. And then he says, and Christ is God's. And what he's saying here in this last few verses, is there anything here that is the basis for a division? Can you find anything that we are to be divided over? Not one thing. We are one body in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words that come from your mouth through the Word of God. Father, I always pray that whatever is from you, from your word, and accurately presented would be burned into our mind forever, be welded there, never to leave us, to be used of the Holy Spirit to equip us and challenge us and encourage us. But whatever is coming through my mind, from my creativity, through my intellect, through my wisdom, whatever is coming out of my mouth that way, Father, would you burn it from our thinking? Would you just wipe it out? Would it be forgotten and never brought up again? Guard and protect our minds so that your word alone enters them. And Father, I pray that this would become preventive medicine for those of us at Glendale. Even though we haven't split, we are not divided. I pray that it would be used to keep us, to help us never to be divided over anything. Thank you for our time in Jesus' name. Amen.